In episode 24 of Personalities at Carrie, we are talking to Rob Ritter. Rob has an undergrad in supply chain from Texas A&M and is currently concentrating in marketing and finance. Rob interned at Intuitive Surgical in the Bay Area over the summer. To know more about him and get to know him at a personal level, let's get started on a conversation with Rob Ritter.
So in episode 24, we are in conversation with Rob Ritter. Rob, can you start us off with some background on where you come from, what you've been doing before coming back to school?
Sure. I grew up... as I sit here and show it, mimicking me.
Good.
All right. So I grew up in North Texas. I was born and raised in Fort Worth. I did my undergrad at Texas A&M studying industrial distribution. And then from there, I came out in 2010, so the economy was booming. So I took the only job offer I had, and I went to do customer service for a hydraulic distributor. So learning everything from fluid power hydraulics to dealing with irate customers on the telephone, and that transitioned into an inside sales role. Putting together technical solutions for automation customers. And I did that for about 2 years and then moved into an outside sales role, selling hydraulics and automation components. And then what really prompted the change back to grad school was looking at what my sales territory had the potential of producing and where the market was and how Texas lives and dies by oil and gas. To me, it was I could sit doing the same job for 2 years and be in the exact same spot, or I could go back to school and use it as an opportunity to open new doors. So.
Mm-hmm. And is there a special reason why you chose to do supply chain? Are you doing supply chain, by the way?
No.
You're not? Okay.
I'm doing marketing and finance.
Okay. Sorry. So what prompted you to go to WP Carey?
WP Carey, in all candidness, was when I was initially looking at schools, wasn't high on the list. It was one of my more safer schools, I guess would be how I was approaching it. But after interviewing at Texas and then scheduling interviews with Georgetown, when they flew me out here, put me up in the Tempe Mission Palms and really took care.
Countdown?
Countdown. And then also for the interview too. Okay. That when they put us, they treated us with that level of respect, and then going through the different curriculum, what WP Carey actually stood for, as well as the first I heard of the full ride was when I came to interview. So mm-hmm. that kind of changed my perspective on the school. It was one of those where, well, you mean I don't have to go six figures in debt? That makes it a lot more appealing and attractive as an opportunity. But choosing marketing and finance, so studying industrial distribution, I feel like I had a good foundation in supply chain, especially some of the logistics and stuff that we learned in Holmes class. I had several classes on that in undergrad. Doing sales, I really enjoyed the putting together market sizing or trying to understand what a market needs. It was the day-to-day banging on doors and trying to get into customers that was the
get into customers
or like so to develop the relationship okay. with customers. So a lot of that was going to places, talking to receptionists and getting in my car and going to the next mm-hmm. place because the receptionist would say no or mm-hmm. here's the contact information and email and voicemail mm-hmm. black holes.
Yeah.
But the market aspect of that I think is a lot more strategic oriented, and I really appreciate that part of business. And then finance is the language of business. So if you can relate any sort of marketing or supply chain, you can quantify it and justify it. I think that only strengthens our position as future leaders.
Okay. And you say your family is in Texas right now?
Correct.
How do you manage that? Do you get to go home once in a while?
I travel back to Texas. I've traveled every other month or so back. I actually have a sister that lives in Anchorage and a brother that lives in Denver. And then my parents and their families are both back in Texas. So it's just a matter of FaceTime and having phone calls or group texts. But I appreciate traveling home, but I'm excited for opportunities where I'll be traveling much more. So
okay. Yeah, another during the second year, hopefully. Yeah,
exactly.
How has your experience during the first year of the WB Carry MBA has been?
I think the experience has been extremely transformative. Looking at where I am today, you know, end of Q5, compared to where we all were going into Q1, thinking that we're king of the world going into Q1 and then quickly learning that, oh, wait, this is school and you haven't done this in 8 years and it's time to remember how to use your brain in an educational setting. I think the experience was extremely humbling and then also very, really empowered the opportunity to grow as an individual. And I wake up and put my pants on the same way as I did a year ago. Looking at that transition and that transformation really highlights the value that I feel like I've gained over the past year. And then as far as the actual experience, I think the classes have been just tremendous. The extracurricular opportunities and the relationships and friendships I've forged, I think have also been extremely humbling and substantial as far as how I feel like I've grown as an individual.
Okay. So you talked about classes. So of the classes so far, do you have a favorite one?
Favorite class so far is either Valuations with Simonson, or I really did enjoy Byers Decision Modeling class. Okay. So
no surprises there.
Right. Shocking, really.
So you do recommend these classes to all?
Absolutely. Yeah. The Valuations, I think, gives you the opportunity to really understand the more financial aspects of looking at a firm as a whole and learning some of the fundamentals as far as the finance side of that can be really applied across the board. And then decision modeling, I think that's just the way my brain works and getting to break down a problem to its root components and really trying to identify the structure behind the problem as you develop a solution, I think is extremely beneficial and invaluable for approaching anything.
So how did you approach getting your internship in the first year?
I feel like my internship actually kind of fell in my lap. I was approached by Intuitive Surgical. They found my resume in a resume book for their services marketing position. And I'd been looking at aerospace. I've been looking at firms here locally or back in Texas. So I was, I think, the first one to interview with them, at least from Arizona State. I had a phone call with my manager over the summer, and then that turned into four more WebEx video conference call interviews. So that was like late October, early November, and then it was 3 months of persistent follow-up with them. Every other week, I'd send a note over to the HR recruiter, just, hey, checking in, wanted to see where you're at on your decision timeline. And I didn't actually get an offer from Intuitive until, I think, early or mid-February. Mm-hmm. So it was really one of those, making sure that I stayed on top of that. Because after talking to them, the opportunity really did excite me. And it kind of, it took off some of the excitement of trying to recruit for aerospace or defense that going into it, I thought I would have enjoyed. So.
Okay. And once you were over there, can you talk about your particular role or the project that you did over summer?
Yeah. In generalities, I was supporting the service aspect of the organization. So Intuitive Surgical, for those that don't know, they make the Da Vinci surgical robot. So when a robot is installed at a hospital, there are a handful of enterprise level services that the company provides these hospitals to really help them promote procedure volume, etc. And my responsibility over the summer was to support a internal initiative to strengthen one of their processes, as well as do a strategy piece for them looking at longer term horizon on product availability. So the opportunity out there was tremendous. I had a phenomenal supervisor who she opened doors across the organization for me. So I got to see everything from the engineering to not only service marketing, but product marketing. So I really had visibility across multiple business units and strategic functions that allowed me the opportunity to really put, I feel like I learned in the first year, to practice operations, marketing, and finance to really develop a complete strategy piece for them. So the opportunity out there was amazing.
Okay. And you recommend other people to go there and work for them?
Absolutely. First and foremost, the mission of Intuitive Surgical to really provide minimally invasive robotic surgery. As someone that's spent 20 hours in a hospital procedure, that has spent a month and a half on a hospital floor, the fact that Intuitive is able to, through minimally invasive surgery, substantially reduce the amount of time that people are susceptible to secondary infection, or you know, to the isolation that goes along with being on a hospital floor. That alone, I think, is super empowering, knowing that you're working for a company that really is driving changes in people's lives. And then on the flip side, on the actual professional side, working for a fast-growing company that's out in the Silicon Valley that really is going through substantial change and growing opportunities, I think it's one of those companies that presents you with an opportunity to really forge your own path. And a company that's small enough to where you aren't just a number, but large enough that you do have some of those more corporate level benefits and perks that go along with the value that our education brings.
Mm-hmm. Now, just coming back to school, do you have a certain incident and experience that kind of stood out to you? Maybe it went beyond your expectations of when you came into school.
In grad school in general?
In grad school in general.
So first and second year?
First and second year. It could be inside of school or the friends you made and you had stuff doing. I mean, you did some stuff outside. That could also be it.
So any event or circumstance that stands out?
Or something you do regularly with your friends.
Right.
That you didn't expect to be doing.
I think for me, some of the best relationships I have are when I can be just my goofy, unfiltered self. So the group that I play board games with on, you know, once or twice a month, just sitting there and, you know, immersing ourselves into a world that's entirely not our own, but still goofing around and unleashing that pure mayhem that is our true personalities, I think is, you know, some of the most exciting, you know, blow or steam,
blow off steam.
Yeah. releasing frustration, or, you know, it's some of the best procrastination is, you know, I've got a finance paper due, but no, for a finance case due, but no, I'm going to spend 6 hours and play a board game. So it's super productive. Then the other side is, you know, weekly shenanigans at the Vine, singing karaoke, giving terrible renditions of Johnny Cash songs, and just getting to see everyone's, again, that goofy self that we all have. You know, when people let their true personality out, I think that's some of the most vulnerable and open that we can be. And I think it's one of the most exciting aspects of grad school, other than being stuck in team rooms and trying to work on fusion lab projects at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. Yeah.
All right, sure. So just off your experience so far in life, do you have certain best decisions that you, like, I'm glad I made the decisions for myself?
Yeah. So I feel like whenever whenever life gets challenging, I think personally, I tend to retreat into myself. I attribute a lot of the discipline that got me through my car accident back in 2008 to the skills and perseverance that I learned in wrestling, and some of my wrestling coaches really instilled in me. So I think that for me personally, that I've always been pretty headstrong and self-sufficient when it comes to making big decisions. I think it's a strength and a weakness, my stubbornness and tenacity when it comes to making a big decision. So when I decided to go to grad school, it was like, well, I guess I'm doing this, and then forging the path. But as far as, you know, some big decisions that I really feel like have changed me and given me that opportunity to grow. I'm on the board of a nonprofit in North Texas. That when I moved there after my undergrad, living in a new town, kind of socially isolated, and didn't have a lot of activities to go and do outside of class or outside of work, really. And I went water skiing with a group called Rise. And that first time I get pulled up behind a boat on an adaptive water ski, was just kind of like my whole world shifted. Like, it was one of those, oh, there's still possibilities, there's still opportunities out there for me. I grew up water skiing prior to the accident. So that for me, it was like finding that center and that home again. So fast forward a year and a half later, when I've now spent an entire summer on the lake, I've participated in wheelchair rugby, I've participated in some of the other sporting opportunities. I really took that as an opportunity to join that board to really give back, because there's nothing quite as rewarding as seeing that just beaming smile on a kid's face the first time that they go water skiing, the first time that they go parasailing, when, you know, these are kids that have physical handicaps that, you know, when they now have that opportunity and they realize that, you know, life isn't what they thought it was going to be, that opportunity, really, to go back to your question, that decision that I feel like was one of the most impactful, like that level of decision, and that kind of just reinforces my own thought process when it comes time to make a decision. It's like, this is the path I'm going, and then we're going to move forward. Mm. So long rambling answer to your question.
But yeah, I felt it was very passionate, and I like that people will know that you're on the board of Rise and how you were able to affect those lives. That's pretty cool. Then going back to like finding time outside of school, you talked about board games and trivia. Do you also want to talk about other hobbies that you have? I know you do some improv.
Yeah. So for me, improv was one of those decisions that I don't regret, that made another substantial impact on my life. After the accident in 2008, when I was working professionally, I had a really bad habit of really deflecting any sort of personal question or anything that would strike on that emotional level. I wasn't comfortable with it. Even a, hey, how are you? Great, how are you? Just quickly, you know, I'm rubber, you're glue. Let's bounce this and let's get, you know, I don't want to talk about myself. But it took me a long time to get out of that, and it's still something I continue to work on to this day. But the decision, I think it was 2015, 2016, to start getting into improv, I had a really close friend in high school who would go and do stand-up comedy. So I would go to his shows, and I'd sit there, and I'd listen, you know, he'd always make me laugh. And then I'd give him feedback at the end of a show. And at first, he was always very receptive to it. Thanks, man, I really appreciate it. And then over time, I feel like it kind of got to this point of like, all right, put up or shut up, because you have no idea what it's like to be on stage. And I realized that, and I used improv as an opportunity to really become more vulnerable with myself, and then more vulnerable just in general, as an opportunity to put myself out there. And then I used it to grow professionally as a, you know, everyone wears a mask in some level. You know, you might have your, I'm Rob the student mask on. I might have Rob the board member mask on. We have different masks for different situations. But to really be comfortable with what lies underneath the mask, and then understanding that I used it professionally, that when I put Rob the salesperson's mask on, that when I go to a customer site and the receptionist tells me in no uncertain terms to please leave, that it's not a personal rejection. It's saying no, they don't need the salesperson. So that's how I got into improv. I took an 8-week class, and then I still remember the nervous excitement as I'm sitting behind stage getting ready for our showcase for our level one improv. And there were 13 of us in the class, and we're all like just super nervous, but super giddy, like so much energy bouncing around. We went out for what felt like 30 seconds on stage, which was, you know, when we watched the video, it was 18 minutes. You know, it's one of those like, holy crap, that was so much fun, and it's already over. Just getting to, you know, be out there, not that we were great or that I'm good by any means, but just, you know, we made our friends and family laugh, and it was, you know, very rewarding and validating, and just an awesome opportunity to again go out on stage, act like a kid, and just remember how to play, which for me is a tremendous, it's another great way that I blow off steam. And if I can set aside the world and go make up a world for a little while, you know, just do stupid bits with friends on stage, and more so not to make the audience laugh, but if I can make one of my troop mates on stage, if I can make them laugh, that to me is more rewarding than having a room full of audience laughing hysterically, because they always make me laugh. Just I have to turn around and just bite my tongue because I'm giggling on stage and not holding a character. So, yeah, I love improv, to answer your question.
Okay. So a few questions just to get to know you better at a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any pet peeves?
Pet peeves, people that aren't respectful of other people's time. So for me, punctuality is tremendous. And then something that I'm guilty of myself, in addition to punctuality, but is biting off more than people can chew. I recognize that sometimes I have a bad habit of doing this, but so I think that's why it frustrates me when other people do this, and then relying on other people to pick up the slack. So that lack of consideration for our fellow humankind is really frustrating for me. Mm.
Do you watch a lot of movies?
I do.
Do you have a favorite one?
Favorite movie is probably either Layer Cake or Revolver.
Okay.
Layer Cake has Daniel Craig and Revolver has Jason Statham. Both just weird kind of action-ish, kind of more psychological movies that I really enjoy that kind of level of that movie that is really abstract in a way. Inside Out, I think, is as far as like a think that kind of movie, to where it's talking about something larger than itself as throughout the film.
Okay. And do you watch TV shows?
I go through very terrible habits of binge watching stuff on either Amazon or HBO. So I think the last thing I watched was Under the Dome.
Okay.
So just that level trash television. So
do you have something spectacular that you watched, like maybe that has substance?
Substantial television? Not really.
No.
Most of the stuff I watch is, you know, dramatized television. I don't know. But unfortunately, I don't really watch a lot of TED Talks or anything like that as far as educational television. I wish I was more into documentaries, but it's not my forte.
So do you have a favorite TV show, just in case?
Lost. Or Battlestar Galactica. Either or.
What about music? Do you have a favorite artist and a favorite genre of music?
I grew up on classic rock. my parents used to rock me to sleep when I was, you know, 3 or 4 by blasting, and I mean blasting, because my dad had a really nice sound system, Pink Floyd, and I was always told that Dogs of War would put me to sleep at full volume. I don't know for whatever reason, but classic rock has always been, you know, I think that's always something that I enjoy listening to. But I really do enjoy listening to jazz and classical as well, just not more technical kind of music, or where it's more just relaxing and you're listening to an entirely different language as far as music. But I don't have a favorite artist. It kind of varies, but I always find myself going back to Red Hot Chili Peppers or Metallica as just old standbys that I'll plug in and listen to the same song over and over. I realize I have a rotation of about maybe 15, 20 songs that I just play. Like looking at my YouTube history, it's just the same songs over and over. I don't do the best job of exploring new music.
That's fine. Sometimes people just want to listen to the same thing.
Yeah.
Are you into reading? Do you read books?
I do. I love reading some fiction. I have a soft spot for Timothy Zahn's Star Wars novels, but I love sci-fi as far as a genre. So I use the Hugo Award winners list, and I'll pick out books from there to go and just popcorn read and not really have to do a lot of thinking. And then also some either self-help or more business-oriented books, just to kind of try and diversify and pretend that I'm being productive and enriching myself rather than the fiction pressure release.
Yeah. If you're given the opportunity to go meet a person in history and have coffee with, who would you choose?
Peter the Great.
Why?
Russian history is fascinating to me, and everything that he was able to accomplish. I don't remember a lot of what it was off the top of my head, but just the his strength as a leader, I think, is tremendous. And it's always been my go-to if you can meet anyone in history, quite answer. So
okay. Okay, so now just coming back to like what you want to do in the future. How about you tell us what you'll do right after school and then where you want to be in the next 10 years?
So right after school, I'll be going back to Intuitive Surgical. I'll be doing services market product manager for them. So again, on that B2B aftermarket avenue. Professionally, within 5 years, I'd like to be at the director level, and I believe that with Intuitive, I have the opportunity to get there. Really, the 10-year time horizon, I haven't put a lot of thought and resources behind. I know that one thing that I aspire towards when I retire, you know, when someone asks, what do I want to make of my life, that I want to be a trustee. Like, what does success mean to me? It means to me that I get to the point financially where I'm able to ensure that other people have opportunities, either through avenues like RISE for people with physical disabilities or other organizations that provide this level of care and open doors for people. I want to be able to empower people to do that. So success for me means being able to financially support these organizations and initiatives, if not also with my own blood, sweat, and tears pouring it into these types of organizations.
It's a very noble thought. Happy to have someone like you among us. Do you have any advice for the first years to get through their stressful time?
At the end of the day, just remember to breathe. When someone asks me, how are you doing? I'm always thankful that I'm still here. So my go-to answer is I woke up this morning. And I mean that truly, that I woke up this morning. That things could have turned out much differently 10 years ago, where I could have been pancaked between in the car accident. So at the end of the day, just remember that you're still on this planet, that things will you'll wake up tomorrow and that you just have to breathe to get there. So don't sweat the small stuff. Just remember that you're here and to remember to have a good time, because it really is your opportunity to grow as an individual. So just seize it.
Mm-hmm. You also know that you were the vice president of the MBA. So you want to take the opportunity to promote something that's coming up maybe in a couple of weeks or so.
So today's September 25th.
Yeah.
I need to wish my sister a happy birthday. But know that at the end of the semester in November, we have the holiday party coming up. But more so than anything, I really want to promote just getting to know your fellow classmates, as well as reaching out to people in the class above or below you, first and second years, respectively. Just our network is only as strong as we make it. So use it as an opportunity to get to know someone. You never know where you'll be in 5 or 10 years, where you need an employee or need a job. So strengthen that network now, rather than having to go and look on LinkedIn in 10 years and be like, what is Charlotte doing? So
I'll be right there with you.
Don't worry. Exactly.
Sure. And then once you're done with your MBA, how would you like your peers to remember you?
Remember me for the unfiltered, sarcastic self that I am. I do my best to not make an ass of myself in class, but sometimes I can't help it. So remember, if I'm able ever to make you laugh, just remember that laugh.
You've always been able to make me laugh, and I think we were together in Q2, and now we are on a team together. So I've always loved working with you. How about if people want to get in touch with you, where should they find you?
You can always get a hold of me on my cell phone, 817-675-8589. Otherwise, find me on Facebook or shoot me an email, rob.ritter@gmail.com. I've had those since I think I was 20, so they still work. and I reply most of the time.
All right. So thanks, Rob, for coming online and chatting with us. Thanks to everyone else for listening, and continue listening to us.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
All right.
Rob has been on a couple teams with me, and we have always enjoyed each other's company. He's been his goofy self most of the time, and when it comes to execution of work, he is one of the best at it. Rob's also the vice president of the MBA, and I wish him the very best of luck going forward. To all our listeners, again, thank you very much for tuning in, and I shall see you next time. Goodbye and peace.